All right. So this is Build a Better Business. And a couple of things I wanted to review today. And again, we're just finishing up blogging as a way to help market our businesses so that folks can kind of get to know, like, and trust us. And so we talked about, you know, going to the PLR, which is the public licensed material, where we can get an article. We can then go in and edit and make it our own. And then we can upload it into our own blog post. And from there, once it's uploaded into our blog post, we can then share it out across our social media. So I kind of just want to show you a little bit better how to share it so that we get the pictures that go with each blog post. And again, I go in and pick up some free pictures as well. And there's Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
Hey.
So Kathy, the one from last, the one from the first of the month, is that replay out there?
Yes, yes. Everything is on our membership site. And so I'll just show everyone how to get to all of that so there's no confusion. I know it takes a minute for everybody to kind of get caught up. But then one of the things I want to talk about today, and Debbie brought this up, so I want to do this for Debbie, but for everyone as well. How many have been on Clubhouse already? Yes?
In and out, like quickly.
Okay, Sally a little bit, Debbie a little bit, Doreen, yes?
I have a site, but I've not been on it.
Okay, so now how many have actually signed up for a Clubhouse account?
Yes, yes.
Okay, who has not signed up for a Clubhouse account? Okay, Ruth has not. Everybody's got a Clubhouse account except Ruth. Okay, the problem is that you can get to it on your smartphone. I cannot download the app on the computer where I can share a screen and show it to you rather easily on the computer. So you have to do that on your smartphone. But we're going to get to that. So for now, and I haven't pulled up any sites. So for now, bear with me while I pull up my material.
Kathy,
yes.
One of the things that I've done, and you know, I'm not that technically advanced, but anyway, I joined my webinar on my phone, and then I can transfer host to my phone. And then I can share whatever I have on my phone.
Okay, say that again.
Okay, so what I'll do is I will be on my the webinar twice. Like,
oh, okay. You're going to open it up on your phone as well.
Right. So what I do is I once I'm the host, and then I can transfer host over to my phone so I can share whatever it is I have on my phone I want to.
Oh, okay. Okay. And so that's the way you can share your phone screen.
Right, right. You can do the same thing that you're doing on your computer, on your phone, when you make your phone the host, and then you can take it back. I'm glad I could add some value to you, girl, because she's really
good to know. Because I do join sometimes on my phone, but again, everything that I normally want to share is on my computer, you know, the sites and stuff that I want to share. And so, so I haven't really, I try not to get on Zoom calls on my phone because it's just a little harder to move around. So anyway, to start with, again, this is Build a Better Business. And so before we even get to that, let me just show you where everything is. If you go to KathyBinnerInternationalAcademy.teachable.com, that's the link right there. If you pull up that link and then just scroll down. I'll wait for it to load here. It's still trying. And then when you scroll down, everything I'm doing is on this site. There is the Fit is a Fiddle. It starts off with a free meetup, a course, and a mastermind. Everyone has the same thing, a free meetup, a course, and a mastermind. So as you go down, you're just going to go down to do the previews. You're going to just scroll down to Build a Better Business. And here is the free meetup. Here's the course, and then here is the mastermind. If you go into the mastermind, which is what we're doing today, you'll find all our replays. But I do a free Build a Better Business once a month on a Friday morning, and all of those free replays are over here under the free meetup. So feel free to check those out as well. And the reason they're the same topic, but the recordings are different, is because, first of all, we have different folks that jump in on those free ones than the gals that are in the mastermind. And so sometimes they bring up different questions, or they have a different twist, or, and so we go down a different path in our discussion. So that's why some of those free meetups are just as valuable as the mastermind meetups. And then, of course, it goes on to the bloggers course, and then the Ohio Writers Guild, the connections over coffee. We're starting to get into how to create a nonprofit, if anyone's interested in that. And then, of course, this networking, everyone communicates through Connect. Not only do we do a mastermind, but we teach you how to do a mastermind in your business that you can monetize. And again, we have a free one. So feel free to tap into any of that free stuff. So that's just an overview of how you can, you know, find everything. So this is my actual blog post. And this is the last blog that I did. And so I'm going to open that up. And I probably won't share this one because I just shared it. So I'll probably pick an older one. I was going to try to write one this morning, and I ended up getting calls for the guest house instead. I ended up doing reservations this morning instead of writing another blog post. So anyway, this is what it looks like when you open it up, and it shows the entire article here. And I put these links in, is how I monetized it. There's several of those. And then when you get to the bottom, there's three links there on how to monetize it. And when anyone reads this blog and clicks on those links, it goes to my website, to my course page, and to my Simply Start calendar. And that's how you too can put links in your blogs to go back and monetize whatever, however you're going to monetize your blog, whether it's Sally advertising a trip or Estella sending them back to her main website, or Debbie sending them over to you know, her homesteading page. It's wherever you want to send folks to monetize. So anyway, when you're ready to share this, this is the URL that you're going to share. I know a lot of folks are like, well, now how do I get my blog post over into social media? And this is where you're going to get that URL. So you open up whatever post first. See, if you just go to the homepage and use just this URL of your blog, they're going to get your home page. See, they're not going to get that particular article. So if you want them, if you're advertising a particular article to get folks to know, like, and trust you, you want to open up the article first. So let's, I tap on passion and see what comes up. Okay, I've got only one thing under passion, which is finding your life purpose. Again, I'm looking for an older blog post, one that I may have advertised before. Here is exercising on a budget, get in great shape. If I open that up, this one was done back in June of 2020. And if I open that article up, here is the actual article. And you see at the bottom, schedule your free strategy session or go to your next best step courses. So that's how I've monetized this particular blog article. This is the URL that I actually want to put over into my social media. See, open up the article first. Does that make sense? And let's see. I'm just... Now, this one has to do with the bed and breakfast. This is my actual living room, by the way, for anyone that has not been to my house. That's what my actual living room looks like. And I put the history of Canal Winchester. This was written in May of 2021. If I click on the article and I open up the article first, I talked about the Ohio Erie Canal. I talked about Winchester, Virginia. I talked about canal boats. So see, these three links just give people history lessons. It doesn't monetize my blog post at all. But then I put in the Caraway Guest House. See, that's how I'm monetizing this. People can go to the Caraway Guest House, see, three times, four times. And then I even put my book now button. And so they can read through this article and go, oh, I think I'd like to go there and see some of this stuff that she talked about in person. This is the URL that you're going to advertise. Okay. So now let's go over, and I function kind of in Facebook first. And then I copy and paste the blog post over into other platforms like Instagram or Twitter. And so if I go to my pages, I have the Caraway Guest House is one of my pages. Let's see if I can get it to open up. There it is. So this is my actual Facebook page. And again, you're looking at it from my perspective when you have a page. So it's giving you, it's not the way your viewers would see it. This is the way you would see your page. It gives you all of the videos and it tells you all about, but I want to get scroll down until I create a post. So there is my, where I'm going to create a post. So now I go over to my article and I've already highlighted this. So I'm going to copy that. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to paste that. Now all that was the link. Look what it does. It automatically puts the whole article link with the picture that you chose for your article. You don't have to go in. All I did was put the URL in there. You see that? And it opened up the actual article. Now, before I post this down here, I want to make this a little more interesting for my reader instead of just a post. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give myself a little bit of space above that. I'm going to go back to the article. And it says Canal Winchester was founded in 1828. And then it says, here, it talks about the Ohio Erie Canal. So I think I want to highlight this down to he convinced him that. You see where I ended that in the middle of a sentence? Now I'm going to copy that. I'm going to come over to the art to my post again. I'm going to paste that. Get rid of a little bit of space here. And right after that, I'm going to put dot, dot, dot. And I'm going to kind of finish right there. And again, I always put all kind of little hearts. If you've followed any of my posting at all, my trademark is hearts right after everything. And then I'm going to hashtag Caraway Guest House. Okay. So now when I post this, it's going to say Canal Winchester was founded in 1828 by Reuben Dove and John Coleman. When construction of the Ohio and Erie Canal came through Dove's wheat field, he wanted to sue the state. The canal workmen instead convinced him that.
Oh, very intriguing.
And now they're going to click. They're going to say, what did they convince him of? So now I'm going to post that. So you see how I rolled my actual blog post over into my social media. And again, with my Zoom call, it takes longer for all of this to to happen. So now let's see what my post looks like. Let's find it here. I got to scroll past all of the, there it is. See, and convinced him that, and it's a cliffhanger. See, it's a little cliffhanger. And so now watch this. When you click right there on the article, guess what it does? Once it loads, of course, it loads it right to that particular article in my blog post. And so now people can start reading and they go, ah, this is what they convinced him. And so now when they read the article, they can go, yeah, I think I want to book something there. Or if nothing else, they're going to save this page and go, well, I can't book right now, but you know what? I think I might book something. So you see how easy that was. Once you get your blog post, it's so easy to get it over into your social media. Now, because I like to create everything on Facebook, what I do here is you see where it has everything I've done here, plus the hashtag, plus the link. I can now come to my Facebook and copy all of that. And now I can copy and paste that over into Instagram, Twitter. I don't have to rewrite anything. And I can just take this, and because it's got my cliffhanger, it's got my hashtag, and it's got my link all in one place. So now I can just copy and paste this over into across all my other social media. And the way I like to do that is I like to create on Facebook on my computer. And then I like to go to my phone, and on my phone, and I'll stop sharing here so you can see this. On my phone, I have all of my social media under one little file. Does everybody know how to do that on your phone, where you can put more than one little icon and a little pod together? And I just labeled it social. So when I open it up, there's all my social media just in one little pod there on my phone. So it doesn't like fill up my whole phone menu with all of those. And so now I can open up my Facebook, and I can actually go to my pages, and I can find my Caraway Guest House. And there's my Caraway Guest House Facebook page. And I can scroll down to that article that I just now posted. And right there it is. There's the picture of my living room. And I can open that up and see it's got everything there. It's got the cliffhanger, the hashtag, and the link. So now I just hold my finger on that and copy that text. I copy the whole thing. Now I can go over, let's say, to LinkedIn, and I can just post that, hold my finger down and paste, and look what happens. There's the whole thing now in LinkedIn, and post there. And so now I've got that whole article on my finger. I've got the cliffhanger, the hashtag, and the link. And so now all I have to do is open up each social media and post it. I've already copied it. So now I just copy and paste. I'm just now pasting it into each social media. You see how fast that goes once you get it the way you want it. So what I do, just as an overview, is I go to PLR and I find an article that I like. Now, in this case, I didn't find this one in PLR.
Thanks.
Because it has to do with my own bed and breakfast and Canal Winchester. So I found an article that someone had written about on the history of Canal Winchester. And so I worked that into my own article in this case. So I wrote the article first. So you can either use PLR, other resources, however you research, write your article. Once you get your article written, then you have to go find a picture. And if it's not your own picture, make sure it's a free picture that you don't get in trouble for. I had a situation once where I had bought gift cards for my salon. And so on my website, I wanted to advertise that we had gift cards. So I took a picture of my own actual gift cards that this company sent me 100 of and uploaded it onto my website. It was out there, oh gosh, 5 years maybe. And I got a letter in the mail that said I was getting sued for $6,000 because I had used a copyrighted picture. And I'm thinking, I didn't make that picture up. I bought that gift card. I've been handing them out for 5 years. I've got hundreds of salon customers that have that gift card in their wallet. And so I just referred back to the gift card company and I said, here's, you know, I got this letter. They're suing me because supposedly it was, you know, a copyrighted picture. And the gift card company said they would take care of it. So what they did is I don't know if they had to pay anything or not. I never got involved in that end of it. But what they did is they said, for your inconvenience, we want to send you 1,000 new gift cards. So I'm like, because I had to pay like $100. They were like a dollar a piece. I had to pay like $100 for 100 gift cards. And they're like, we're just going to send you 1,000 just because of your inconvenience. And the new gift cards were just a solid gold card. There was no picture. And because, see, the gift card, again, it was just a tool. We had to load the money on it on our credit card machine. So it was just a tool that customers could buy a gift card. And so I said, okay. So I never did have the whole rest of the time I was in business. I never had the reorder gift cards because that 1,000 lasted me forever. And so that worked out really well for me. But I don't know what they had to do, you know, because of the fact that and all it was a box with a bow around it is what the picture was. And they said that that was a copyrighted picture. So anyway, at that point, my big question was, is I have hundreds of customers out there with that original gift card in their wallet. And again, when you buy a gift card for somebody, I don't even know who the person who bought the gift card gave it to. So I have no way to track down these gift cards. And they said that in their settlement, they agreed that as long as I didn't sell any more of that original picture of the gift box and use the new gold ones that they sent me, that it was okay to just let those old ones finally kind of wash out of the system as people used. They said, so if somebody comes in and uses one of those original gift cards, they said, please take the gift card, even if they have money left, and reload it onto one of the new gold ones and give it back. Don't give them back the blue one. So that's what we did. And I physically didn't have to pay anything. But that's how something like that can happen. And there are companies out there that all they do is look for pictures that they can sue you over. So
yep. That happened to me.
Yeah. So Sally, do you want to share or no?
Yeah, I had used a picture of Hawaii. It was a pretty iconic picture. And I thought it was a free picture and it was on a previous website for like years. And then in 2017, I got this letter from a lawyer and you're right. They do have companies that just go out and search. So yeah, they were going to sue me for $10,000 or something. So I did end up having to go to a lawyer. You know, people advise me to just ignore it, but you know, I'm just not like
that's
that.
Not you.
No, that's just not me.
And who wants that hanging over your head? Anyway,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
If you just ignore it, you never know when the other shoe is going to drop, so to speak.
Right. So I find, you know, I replaced all the pictures on that website with that
action. Uh-oh, did I freeze or did Sally there for a minute?
I think I did for a minute.
Okay.
And I did have to pay $2,000 or $3,000 just for the settlement.
Pay what? $3,000?
Wow.
Yeah, just for the settlement. Super, super curious to, you know, like Debbie, you have really nice pictures of your own you can use. Canva pictures, even if you have to pay, they're like $1, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the free ones you can get are just don't, you know, match what you want. So I have paid for, but they're just like dirt cheap. So I know.
I agree.
Canva.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. If you're creating on Canva,
it'll tell you what the free ones are and what you have the premium ones are.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And I believe if you're on Pro Canva, then they don't cost.
It depends on the picture.
Does it depend on the picture?
Yeah, it depends on the picture. I agree with Sally. But yes, on Pro, you do get a lot more.
Okay.
That are free to you. Yes. Yes.
And I have only maybe paid for a couple.
Yeah.
Most of the time I can either make my pictures work or a Canva picture. So it's just worth paying the dollar and not having to worry about copyright.
So keep that in mind.
If you get a picture like Debbie, you had a picture that had that watermark on it. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. I have another girlfriend. She just created a new walking group and the picture in her cover has watermark on it. And I told her, I said, we need to talk about your picture there before you get in trouble.
Now, let me ask you a question. So like, you know how you go out and you see sometimes somebody has made I don't know why my brain isn't coming together here for the moment. But like people make statements and it might be George Washington's statement or whoever, and they have a picture behind it. Can you use that on Facebook if you're not advertising, if you're not trying to monetize anything?
you're saying if you find a graphic somewhere that has a picture and a quote, oftentimes it'll have down in the corner who has copyrighted that picture. And so
posted.
I have posted it, but I leave the person's copyright in the corner, so it shows where it came from.
Okay, so that as long as you're giving them credit, it's okay.
Right.
And you're not using it on your business site.
On your business page or on your website.
They don't want you to make money off of their pictures.
Yeah, they want to make money. And just think of it like that. If you wouldn't steal from a store, you wouldn't steal from somebody else's intellectual material, either it be pictures or articles or whatever. And so it's one thing to share someone else's material. It's something else to steal someone else's material. Does that make sense?
Right, it does. But so as long as if I see a caption out there and it's got a beautiful whatever behind it, if it has their name in the bottom, as long as I have that on there, and I'm just trying to say something nice to people on my Facebook that day, I'm good.
I believe so. And even in my situation, the picture on that last blog that I just showed you is of my own living room, my own parlor in my own bed and breakfast. If I were out there scrolling around and there was some bed and breakfast course and that picture were on the top of their course, my first reaction would be, oh, they stole my picture, you know, and I probably would have some legal rights to make them remove that picture from their course because they would be advertising a course using my intellectual material. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally would not. I would feel honored that somebody thought well enough to use my picture that the world is a big place and I'm not going to get upset over stuff like that. And here's my thing. A lot of people are so worried that somebody's going to steal their course or their book or whatever. And here's my thinking on that. And this is the total opposite end of protecting yourself from somebody who might want to sue you. But the total opposite end of that is if I took one of my courses and printed it out and wrapped it up with a bow and gave it to 100 people, one or two might try to do something with it. Most of them would not. So I don't worry about my material per se, but there are a lot of people out there that do worry about their material. So I'm just saying don't be on that end of the spectrum. Where somebody could sue you.
And, you know, there are attorneys that have made a business out of, you know, doing that because there are unscrupulous people out there. I get it. Yes. That's why you need Legal Shield.
Absolutely. I get that. So anyway, so you're gonna create your article. And then once you create your article, you're going to find a picture or use one of your own pictures. And you're going to put that on an actual blogging platform. Now, here's another thing that I want to encourage everyone. Get your blogging platforms up and running and don't just use Facebook or LinkedIn or your email to do your blogging. Actually store these on a blogging platform where there is an index where people can find your articles. That's the biggest takeaway today is make sure you put all of your blogging articles on a platform where there is an index where they can find which article they're looking for. Now, I happen to be using HostGator. I know Sally's using HostGator. Debbie's using HostGator. Doreen, what are you using?
I always have a hard time finding that mute button.
Okay.
I'm actually using Bluehost and
Bluehost. Okay.
With my WordPress.
And WordPress. That's right. You're the WordPress girl. Yes. Yes. I am not a WordPress girl because I usually don't have enough time to figure out what plugin that I need next. And that's why I went with HostGator. And all HostGator is a WordPress site that someone, the HostGator people, I'll say, have put together themes already, and they've already put together all of the plugins that you need for a blog post. And you just go in and pick a theme and then just start blogging. It's all kind of done for you. It's very easy. And so that's why, and Weebly does that, and Wix does that. And even Vistaprint, where my own website is hosted, all of that it's all based off of WordPress. So if you want to use WordPress like Doreen, it's a wonderful program because you can create and tailor make that exactly what you want it to be. I just wanted a little 3-page blog. I wanted my blogging homepage, my about me or work with me page, and then my contact page. So basically it's just a little 3-page website with my homepage being my blogging page, but the blogging plugin, if you will, on WordPress. And HostGator had created that already. I just picked the color I wanted and the layout that I kind of liked and went with it. I helped Sally set hers up. We did the same thing. I helped Debbie set hers up. We did the same thing. We just picked a layout that we kind of liked and said, oh, that's the one. Click. And it just made life a lot easier because we didn't have to sort out how to create a WordPress site from the beginning. Now, Ruth, how about you? Are you using WordPress?
I don't have one yet.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards HostGator just because it may be easier.
Yeah. And again, not only was it easier, but I was price driven also at that point. And so it was the least expensive for hosting of the domain and then the platform to hold the actual blog post. So both of those kind of fit the model that I was looking for. I wanted cheap and easy. Because mm-hmm. I didn't know at the time when I started if I would blog all that much. And so I just wanted cheap and easy. So that's why I picked HostGator. And then on my website, of course, I do have an affiliate link. So if you go through the affiliate link, it does give you a even more of a discount on the affiliate link. And so I think that's what Sally and Debbie both did, is they went through my kathybinner.com resource page and clicked on HostGator there. So anyway, it doesn't matter, but the point is not that long ago, just a week or so ago, if you remember, all of Facebook, all of Instagram and WhatsApp, all of those were totally down because of what was going on legally with Zuckerberg. And so if you're putting your stuff out there on Facebook, which is a great place to create some of these blog posts, but if that's the only place, if you're doing them right on Facebook and then publishing them and say, there, that's my blog for the day, that could disappear so quickly. So you have to have a place that you're housing these articles that you're writing. And that way, you know, especially if you start on Facebook and then all you're doing is sharing that across different groups, if your main post on Facebook goes away, it goes away on all those other groups as well. So make sure that you have a platform where you're housing this stuff. And if you're not ready to publish yet, but you're writing some great stuff and you want to keep it, at least have a folder in your hard drive where you're saving those articles if you're already creating some.
I know, I love you too.
So you're going to do your article, then you're going to do your picture, and then you're going to make sure you house that on a platform to save it so that you can index it. And then from there, you're ready to market it out across your social media. And also that same URL that I put over into my social media, I can also put that in an email. So once you start an email list, you're going to want to actually save those articles so that you can use them from your email the same way. Let's see if I can find my article again. Now here is my actual blog. This is a HostGator. And I picked this layout. It's just a 3-page website, home, work with me, and connect. The colors match my website. On the website, I have a link that just takes people right over to the blog post. Here are the tags so that people can find the different articles. Here's all the articles I've written. And it doesn't probably come up on this one, but if you would pull this up on your website, because it's me and it, the, my computer knows it's me. If you pull it up on your website, a little page will fly in here where you can sign up with your email address to get future blog posts. And so I use that, and maybe it'll be on the homepage. And I use that to build my email list, because that's another reason your blog posts, you stay in touch, and then it's got the tags. And I don't know if it'll come up. There it is. Join our email list. And so I'm just asking for their email, first name, last name, and they can subscribe. So they can subscribe to my email list. So that kind of pops in at the bottom of my homepage.
Okay. How do you get that to pop in?
It was a plugin in the back of the house on HostGator when I was creating my three pages. And when I was creating all of this and putting it in, it said, do you want, I basically just added a block here to type in, just the way I added a block up here to type in. And I added this block to type in. And then it said, do you want the block to slide in, pop in, spin in? I could pick all different ways. I could pick that it could swirl in, it could wave in. And I just picked one. And I forget which one that was, the way it pops in there. But I just picked one of those. And then under the subscribe button, I linked back to my MailChimp address so that when they fill that out, their email address automatically goes into my blog email list in MailChimp. And I just put that link under this subscribe button. So that's all I did. This is just a block you could type in.
You mentioned MailChimp. Do you have to use MailChimp, or is there another one?
I use
HubSpot, Debbie.
Yeah. What was that?
HubSpot.
You can research to save an email list, and there's hundreds of different variations out there.
Okay.
Now, what I can't do, and here's my preference. Again, I'm trying to simplify my life, and so I'm using Teachable. And it has all my free stuff. It has all the courses. It has all the masterminds. And when folks sign up, they have to sign up with, you know, they have to open an account and teach. Even if they want the free stuff, they have to put in an email address and have a username and password to get into to Teachable, even if they're just going to the free stuff. And so what I can't do off of my blog post is when somebody registers, I can't get it to go into Teachable. And so I can get it to go into like MailChimp or HubSpot or any of those others, but I can't get it to go into Teachable. And I'm finding that I'm doing most of my marketing right off of Teachable these days. And so what I did is I finally bit the bullet, ladies. I hired a VA, and she's going to work for me about 10 hours a month. It's going to cost me $200 a month, and she's going to work about 10 hours, and she's going to make sure that all of my emails are over in Teachable.
So what's the difference between MailChimp and HubSpot?
I haven't looked at HubSpot, but it could be, just some different perks in different ones.
Sally, did you compare?
No, Matt set it up for me.
Oh.
Okay. I used that.
I know HubSpot is a CRM.
So is MailChimp.
Oh, is it? Is so is MailChimp? Okay. And they just got bought out, didn't they?
Who?
MailChimp just got bought out.
They
just got bought out maybe about a month ago or two.
By who?
Hold on, let me look it up in my phone. Because I was like, uh-oh, now they're going to start charging.
All right, here are some options. SharpSpring, HubSpot, Marketo, Acton. My pictures are Infusion. Anyway, these are some different comparisons, and it goes through your annual cost, and then it goes through get started, your terms. Anyhow, you can do some comparisons. I put in MailChimp with HubSpot, and it doesn't show that they do quite the same thing. So this is just compare the top platforms. Here's okay. Top 10 CRM tools. If you click on that, and here's some over here. There's HubSpot in that one.
I know I had MailChimp many, 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 many years ago. So I guess what I really need to do is stop relying on Yahoo to have all my, or to do all of my emails from, and put them somewhere where they're separate from everything else, and I can make it easier, which is what you're doing, is making it more convenient to send out an email, click, bam, it's done, right?
Yes. So again, it's whatever you're going to use. It's whatever makes sense to you to use. And because I chose Teachable to be my platform, right. To put all of my courses and videos and all of that on, I wanted to be able to just market directly from Teachable, because folks are tapping in there and signing up to get those free meetups. And so obviously they were interested in my material because they signed up for one of the free meetups. So I would be amiss to not keep them informed when I'm getting ready to do another free meetup, or even do a special on one of the masterminds or one of the courses, because those folks have already expressed an interest in my material. And so that's why I wanted to somehow, when somebody signs up for something totally separate, like through my blogging, and they sign up to get on the list, I want to make sure that I get them over into where I'm doing my marketing. So that's why I finally just bit the bullet. I kept saving these emails. Every time I would get several, I would put them in, add these to Teachable stack, and the stack just kept getting bigger. And then I would run into some of these folks, and they would go, "I'm not getting anything from you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. That's because your email's still in my basket that says add to Teachable." And so finally, that's when I thought, you know what? I just need to bite the bullet and get those included in there, so that when I do my weekly, reminder letter that here are the meetups for the week. And then I did go to that. I was trying to do a reminder for each individual thing. Well, then I discovered that some of the folks, they would sign up for the blogging group, then they would sign up for the business, Build a Better Business group. And then some of them have even signed up for, maybe the networking group or the Connections Over Coffee group. And so all of a sudden they're getting like four emails to go to four different events. And I thought, you know what? I finally, which was taking a lot of time on my part to create all those. And then I had to go several layers down into Teachable to get just the students for that one group and send them that email. And then just the students for this group and send them that email. And finally I said, you know what? I've got all of those emails all in one place. And what a great marketing tool. If I just send out a weekly reminder of here are the Zoom codes for the week, and let the folks, jump on whichever call they want to jump onto, because it's a great marketing tool. Some of those folks are like, "I didn't know you had, the Connections Over Coffee. I think I want to do that one." So anyway, it's been a great way for me to market. And I just now need to make sure that all of those folks that were interested get their emails put in there. And then Jennifer and I have already sat down and come up with a paragraph, because in the United States, we don't have to comply with the EDR rules that are in Europe yet, but we think it's coming. So in the United States, the law says if they have connected with you for any reason, you are allowed to email them. Mm-hmm. So, but in Europe, they have to ask you to send them an email. Whereas in the United States, you're allowed to send them an email if they have connected with you earlier on for any reason. So we're creating a little paragraph that simply says the reason you're receiving this is because you have connected either through our newsletter, our blog, you know, or attended one of our events, or signed up or registered, you know, for one of our courses or masterminds. So there's going to be a nice little generic paragraph that goes on the bottom of each of those emails when it goes out. And along with that, there has to be a way for them to opt out. If for some reason they go, I don't want all this. I'll go into Teachable and I'll look up the things I want to go on. I don't want you to add anything else to my inbox. And so there has to be a way for them to unsubscribe.
Well, on a side note, the email that you send out once a week with all of that. Okay, so I've gotten into where I'm setting up my, and you showing the sheets of paper back at the house with your schedule on it. That's
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did was, what I'm doing is taking that and collect the 4 weeks out of the month. And then that way I can set up my calendar. And I've put this out. I'm putting this together now where I can say, okay, I've got Kathy's doing this on these days. And instead of doing it 1 week, I got a month to look at it at a glance. And it's beginning to work. You know what I mean? And because then I know what's coming up. I don't have to wait for Sunday's email, but I can add it to what I already am doing and what I have to do.
Now, let me show you one more thing. And Sherry showed me this. I love these masterminds because I learn as much from you gals as you learn from me. Sherry just showed me this. And let me go to my website. And for those of you that were on the call with the blogging call with Sherry, I kind of knew this, but I didn't. If you go, and this is my homepage coming up on my website. If you scroll down my homepage, and it's still loading, so I'm trying to get too fast here. If you scroll down my homepage on my website, it matches, of course, my Teachable with all these courses. And you go down past the coaching and then about me and then my ebook and then being a speaker. And there is my calendar. Now, Debbie, see this little blue plus button right here?
Yes.
If you click on that, it will add my entire calendar to your calendar.
That's right. She did do that, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. It'll add the entire thing just by clicking. It'll add all of this. Now, you can go in, like here's where we are today. Here's the Build a Better Business. You can go in there and it'll say copy to my calendar. And you can copy individually if there's some, let's say I have some topics that you're not interested in. You can just individually go in and pull up the ones you are interested in, and it'll copy right over to your calendar, to your Google Calendar.
Well, that makes it easier.
But the blue button copies all of this calendar over into your Google Calendar, this little blue plus button. But if you just are interested, you know, like here's the free newbie bloggers, you can just add that to your calendar if you don't want to miss it. You can just open that one up and click on copy to my calendar, and it'll copy it right over to your personal Google Calendar. So that way you don't miss anything that we're doing, whether it's free or whether it's a paid mastermind, but you can do this with your material as well. On your website, all you need is a calendar plugin where you embed your calendar. Now, let me show you because I had decided to not have my calendar open, but I want to open it up to show you. On your own Google Calendar, you don't want your customers or the public to see every single thing you're doing. You just want them to see your content that you want to put out there. So this is what my Google Calendar looks like. Now, I run on Google Calendar because since we travel, it's on my phone, it's on my computer, it's on my tablet. All I have to do is open up Google Calendar and it's all there. These are all my calendars over here on the left. And I have this Simply Start calendar right here. You see where it's checkmarked on? And I've got my personal calendar, my conference suite, my e-coaching, I've got Mark's calendar on there, and then my Simply Start calendar. Those are checked, and that's what all the different colors are here that come up, because all these calendars are coming up over top of each other. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if I just want to see just the Simply Start calendar, you see what color it is? It's right here's where we are. It's on my personal calendar, but I also shared it to my Simply Start calendar. So when I look at my personal calendar, anything that has kind of this brownish color to it, and here's one on Friday, here's two back to back here on Monday. When I see that color, I know that's what is going to show over on this calendar. So if I want something to show here, I have to share it here. So now, for example, I'm not going to share this, I'm just going to show you. Here's tomorrow where Jen is supposed to be in the office. If I open up that and edit where it says more actions right here, copy it to the Simply Start calendar. If I click to copy this event to the Simply Start calendar, it will now show on that calendar on my website. That's how I get it over there. So I create it first. I create it first on my actual personal calendar. So I can do one and then I'll erase it because I don't have one to put over there. But let's say on Wednesday the 20th, I'm just going to make a test and I'm going to save it. So there, that's on my personal calendar. Now I'm going to open that up and more actions, I'm going to actually copy it to my Simply Start calendar and save it. Okay, look, see how it popped up that other color? Now I'm going to go over here and refresh my calendar on my website. And right there it is on the 20th test. So it's only what you share with that calendar. And so now I can open this up and I can erase it. And I can erase that one. And now I go back over here to my calendar and refresh it. Right here's the 20th. And now it's gone. So that's how easy it is. You just have to have a plugin on your website or in your course or wherever you want your calendar to open up like this. You have to have a plugin that says embed code, not a link. If it's a link, it's just going to link you to the calendar. It won't actually embed the calendar and open up the calendar. I think I have a couple in here. Let's look at the Build a Better Business. I don't know now if I have this. Let me go down and look at the curriculum. Yeah, here's dates and times of upcoming meetings. So let's look at that. And of course, I'm not enrolled in my own course, so it won't let me. Let's see if it'll let me go back to the homepage. I'll go to the admin side. The admin side is where you're functioning if you're the author. It's kind of what I call the back of the house. So you can get in the back of Teachable. So instead of looking at it the way a student would look at it, I'm going to look at it the way I would as the creator of the courses. So all of my courses are going to come up. This is what it looks like when you're in editing. I'm going to go to my mastermind course and click on that. And then I'm going to look at the curriculum of just this mastermind. And here's dates and times for upcoming meetings. And I wanted to see if I don't have a calendar in there, but what I do have, let's edit that just so we can see it. See, here's what I do have. See, click this link to see, because in Teachable did not have a place where I could embed the calendar code. So I had to link the calendar code. And so underneath this, when I highlighted this and I go to this link right here, that's the link. And if I preview that, now I may have erased it because I clicked on it. So let's see. And when I click on it, see what it did? It opened up this page in my website. So if I go back to just the link, there's the link, click on the link, and it comes right up here. Because what I did is this, just like when we posted our blog post, when you highlighted the URL and that's what you put that link over in your social media, I just simply highlighted this URL of this section of my website, and that's what I put underneath this actual phrase when I was over here. And right there's the link button. So I just highlighted that, clicked on the link button, went to my Simply Start calendar, highlighted that, and copy and pasted that for that phrase. So then when you actually, when a guest or a student or someone looking at my courses gets to this, they can go, oh, well, when is this happening? So you click on it and it just automatically takes you right to that section of my website. So that's a link instead of an embed code. And then it highlights right where we are. See, right here's today. So it highlights anytime somebody clicks on it, it highlights exactly where we are today. Okay. Was that helpful?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
So that's how you can use your Google Calendar in your own businesses, because you're going to start having events. The only way people's going to get your message is if you put your message out there. And the only way to put your message out there is to start having some events, whether you're going to blog so people start reading your blog, whether you're going to have a free meetup, whether you're going to have a in-person meetup. There has to be some way for folks to connect with you. There has to be a call to action. And you can put content out there all day long, but if you don't ask your viewer to do something with it, they won't, because you didn't tell them what to do with it. Hmm. And oftentimes we put content out there and we're hoping that the viewer figures out what to do with it, that they're going to want it so badly that they're going to search us out and find us in all of this craziness that's going on in our world today and all of the information that's pouring into them, into their inboxes, into their social media, you know, all of that. And then how in the world do they know what to do with it? So you have to create an event of some sort. And that's why when you see events on Facebook, we take note of those. You know, it'll be an event. There's going to be, you know, a pumpkin patch that we can take our kids to. And if it's something that resonates with us, we're going to save that event. We're going to go, yeah, I'll take my kids to that. Or it's going to be a concert that we like, and we're going to save that event because it's somebody maybe that we like. So we'll say, yeah, I think maybe I want to go to that. But unless you have a call to action, your viewers aren't going to do anything. There has to be a call. You have to tell them what you want them to do. Does that make sense? And so the calendar is a good way to do that, because we choose what events. Yes.
So now these events, are they just reoccurring events like what you and Debbie have? Or can I, like if I wanted to offer wheel workshops, let's say once a month.
Uh-huh.
Is that good? Or identity theft workshops once a month?
Yes. And you can, first of all, if you're going to do a workshop like that, the first thing you have to have is your content on what you're going to share.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And as long as you have your content, then you have to have a way to market your content. So you need some paragraph with a picture that you're going to market. And you could either put that, because now on Building a Better Business, once you get to the blogging stage, see, you're ready to start marketing. When I look at our list of what we're doing, you've got your value proposition statement. You know who you are and what you're doing for whom. You know your story. You're ready to serve. You've created your offers. You have your website. And so now you're ready to start marketing your content, your material. And so now you're going to start blogging, speaking, podcasting. This is how you're going to get your content out there to get people interested. And so now if you want to do some free meetups, you then take that paragraph and picture and put it into some sort of an event. You can use meetup.com. You can use eventbrite.com. You can use Facebook events. But you're going to have to create an event of some sort. Now, I like to use Zoom to actually do the event, because that way folks can tap in from wherever they are. They don't have to get dressed up. They don't have to drive anywhere. They don't, you know, they can just tap in from wherever. And thanks to the pandemic, it's made more folks more comfortable jumping on a Zoom call, because they've done it over and over and they're like, oh yeah, that's, I'm interested in that material. I'll at least jump in and listen. For example, Doreen just now, she said, I have to go. Good to see everyone. Great information. My goal is to have my website to show everyone next week. Have a great week. So see, she couldn't stay for the whole time, but she was able to jump in. And that's why I like to actually do my event on Zoom, but then I market it on Meetup, Eventbrite, and Facebook events. And so once you put it on Zoom, Zoom is where it's going to ask, is this a reoccurring event? And so if you say yes, it'll automatically ask you, do you want to do it once a month, once a week? It'll ask you how often you want it to reoccur. And you just check the box. Then it'll automatically populate those dates for you. I do recommend that you double check the dates, make sure that they are exactly what you want, because every so often you'll have a date that you're thinking, oh, I want to do it the second Tuesday of every month, except that one month I've got something else already in there. So you want to make sure that the dates work for you. And then once you have the dates, now you're ready to go out and create an event. And you can do, again, you can use Meetup, you can use Eventbrite, you can use Facebook. I use all three. I create the events in all three because it's a different audience. It's just like folks that use Facebook sometimes don't use Instagram. Instagram users sometimes don't use Facebook. When you look at the demographics, Facebook is older. Instagram is a little on the younger side. And again, I can say that being 65, some are older, some are younger. So you have to, you know, but because of what I'm doing, I'm reaching both of those demographics. So I want to make sure that I put my stuff on both of those platforms. So it's just like Meetup versus Eventbrite versus a Facebook event. You have a different audience that's on those different sites. And so that's why I use all three. I'm finding that I'm getting a little more of an international flair on Meetup. I'm getting more of a hometown flair on Facebook. So again, it depends on, and I want both. My audience could be both. So I advertise on both of those. Okay, is that helpful?
Yeah.
Because now you're ready to start having a call to action, and attending an event is a great call to action. Even if it's a free event, it's a great call to action. And then at the end of your event, you can say, here's how you can learn more if it's something that really resonates with them. And again, it's part of that funnel, you know, but you've got to have your VPS, the story, because when you get on that free event, if that's what you're going to do, you have to be able to tell your story. That's what makes people resonate with you. If you just jump on an event and say, here's what I have to offer, here's what I'm trying to sell, here's how you can buy, a lot of folks will go, okay, well, that's nice. But, you know, but when you tell your story, and all of us have a story. And so when I jump on, especially I'll use an example of my Happy House Hunters group, and I get a brand new investor. And they're thinking, I want to learn how to invest, but you know, what's in it for, remember, your audience is always asking, what's in it for me? That's what's going on in their minds. What's in it for me? And so if I say, hey, you know, I've got these courses and here's what they cost. And I've got this mastermind and you can buy that and you can do this. And they might go, okay, but how do I know that she really can take me from zero to not knowing anything to making my first investment? But when I start off by saying, hey, I was a single mom, I was working two minimum wage jobs. I wasn't until I was age 40 that I had my aha moment and learned how to create passive income. See, now all of a sudden they're like, she can show me how to do this. Mm-hmm. I can see where, you know, she wasn't born into a family with, you know, 50 rentals. She figured this out on her own, one at a time. And so she can show me how to do this. So you see how telling the story makes them relate to you and you relate to them much easier. And that's why the story is so important. Storytelling is your marketing.
That's for sure.
Storytelling is your marketing. And it doesn't matter what your product is. You want to always wrap it in your story. Does that make sense? So you're seeing how the whole Build a Better Business comes together and why it's so important to do the storytelling and then the serving. Because now you've got a message, you know, you've already developed your story and now you have your message. And so now how do you get in front of an audience? Well, you can either build your own, which is a long drawn out struggle, or you can borrow someone else's audience. And so that's how when you start serving someone else that's in your lane and just start adding value to their group and to all of a sudden they're bringing you up on stage, they're sharing your story because you are supporting them. And all of a sudden you're borrowing their platform. And once you've got your products, you know what it is that you're going to monetize, whether it's a book or like Sally, it's a trip, or like Estella, it's going to be her products through Legal Shield, or Debbie through Melaleuca or homesteading. Once you know what your products are, now you're ready to start sharing your story with those products. And so now you can start blogging. You can start not only podcasting on your own, but you can start being a guest on someone else's podcast. And then you can even move into being a speaker.
Thank you so much for reviewing the steps, because I'm like, you just kind of laid it out. And now I can go back and say, okay, take care of this, you know, one, two, three, what's the cadence?
You can kind of see why each step is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can kind of see why each step is so important. And so when it comes to blogging, that actually falls into the marketing step, because all you're doing in your blog is you're just being authentic and blogging so that folks get to know, like, and trust you.
And that NP, is it NPR that you, NPL, what is it that you use?
PLR.
PLR, yes. Thank you, Sally.
PLR. Oh, okay, Ms. Goodlin.
It's close.
Now, again, on my website, I have an actual link there.
Link for that. Okay, we can get it.
And again, I feel very confident sending you there, because what it does is not only gives me 10 points every time you sign up through my website, but it gives you 10 points.
Okay.
And so it gets you started where you don't have to buy any points. And again, the PLR articles are sold with, I'll show you here in a minute, with credits. And see, I have 77 credits. And let me share with you, I haven't bought one. This is just from folks signing up for PLR through my website. I get 10 credits every time somebody signs up. So I've had—
Is there a monthly cost?
Nope.
Okay.
If you get 10 credits, you can join with a monthly cost, but if you just buy the credits as you need them, mm-hmm. But once you sign up and get your 10 credits, most of the articles are only one credit. Down here, they're starting at just 40 cents per download, but you do that with a credit. So you can buy, 10 more credits for, $4. So it's not expensive, And you can actually, you know, sign up for a higher program if you're going to use a lot of that, but I don't use a lot of that. And so if I go to my account, it's going to go to my account page. Here are a lot of the different categories that you can get into. So you can just type in the top up here, what topic. And I don't know, I've never looked under just the word legal and see if it has any articles. But there are also bundles. And see, here's some bundles, and they're like 10 credits, 48 credits, 73 credits. But here you get 98 products with 73 credits. Here you get 57 products with 48 credits. So you can get a whole bundle. I have never purchased in a bundle. I just go here, like here's an article, and it's one credit. Here are prepaid legal services, a good idea. And there you go. It's a whole blog article for one credit, Estella. Right there.
Okay.
So anyway, you just go through and just scroll through the articles until you find something, you know, that makes sense, that goes with whatever your theme is of the day.
And because you bought it, there's no copyright issue, right?
Correct. Correct. All of this is licensed material for you to purchase and make it however you want. Now, what I do is see, like, here's one for two credits. And if you click the down button, it's going to download it into your hard drive. I open it up in a Word document and save it. Whatever the article.
So that uses one of your credits, correct?
This one is two credits. This one's one credit. This one's one credit. And it subtracts it out of my bank of credits up here. And so once I download the article into my hard drive, then I save it. I open it up in a Word document and I save it. I name it whatever the article was. And the reason I do that is because I want to edit it to make it a little more my own. And so once I save it, see, in that Word doc, then I can open up the Word doc. For example, the one day I had one on passive income and I changed it to working from home after we did the whole Google Trends. And I realized that working from home was what was trending a lot higher than passive income. So now I changed the word passive income to working from home. And then working from home is definitely going to be one of my tags. And here's the fun part. Is once you pick an article, it gives you the tags. You don't even have to make up the tags.
Oh, that's sweet.
It gives you the tags that you're going to tag over in your blog post. It gives you all the related tags that goes with that article.
Wow.
And so in products, see, you can pick popular categories. You can pick product types. Here's the articles and blog posts. So if I just click on articles and blog posts, it'll just give me the articles and blog. It won't give me a checklist or the it'll just give me those articles and blog posts. And any blog post you can turn into an ebook.
Yeah.
And so once I click on that, and see here, I could view all the bundles. It would pull up all the bundles, but it also gives me, you know, these related bundles. If I wanted to buy a whole bundle, and I haven't yet, I've only been buying an article at a time. And see, again, most of them are just one credit. And you can just go, and it shows you which ones are popular. And again, the ones that are popular, don't remake the wheel. If it says they're popular, that means people are buying them, which means people are reading them, which means it's, you know, already has some SEO words in it to help get your article out there. You just want to change it enough to make it yours. Okay. So just some ideas there.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I will go to your site. I'm not quite ready yet, but I will go to your site and get it. So we can both have credits.
Yes, yes, yes. Because again, once you sign up through my site, because of my affiliate link, I'll give you 10 credits right through my affiliate link. And so you could download 10 articles before you ever have to buy anything. Now, once you are on PLR, they will then send you a link if you wanted to add that as a resource page. But it has to make sense. Because I have the course to build a better business, it makes sense that I'm using PLR on my resource page because other folks are trying to build up just like you. You're interested in some of those articles. But it has to make sense for what you're doing to make it one of your products.
Right. I have a question about the affiliate links. Is it best to put them on the blog site or your website?
Well, you can do either one. Let's say I was going to blog about PLR. Because remember, one of my topics, one of my products is newbie bloggers. You know, how to create and monetize your blog. So I could actually blog about PLR and put my affiliate link right in the blog post because I'm telling folks about it. But on the other hand, what I did is I just put it all the time. So no matter who asked me, I just put it all the time on my website. So I actually could put it both places.
I just wondered because I have the opportunity to create an affiliate link for the company Four Oceans that picks up the plastic and makes bracelets out of the plastic from the ocean, and also Special Needs Group.
Okay. Now, for you, what I might do is you see where I have a page here about giving back on my website. And when I click on that, it'll bring up another whole page. And mine is this B1G1. And so what you could do, and I talk about, you know, every time somebody joins, something else happens in the world. And if you visit B1G1 and create your own giving schedule, that is an affiliate link. But again, what I don't have that on my resource page. I have it more on a giving back page. You see how you can frame that a little differently? Because in both of those, you're giving back through your affiliate link. You're giving back to the world. You're making the world a better place. So you actually could, on your website, create a whole, giving back like I have here. And then when you go to my resources page, it's more, for me, it's more nuts and bolts on how to do the different lanes that I'm doing. Like here is the 6 F's of real estate. And so here is how to create a Craigslist ad, right. How to do, an open house checklist. But then when I go to the bottom, building a better business, it's about how to get onto Vistaprint or HostGator, Author Academy, Author Wizards, PLR, a free email content, live streams, graphic designs. And these are all affiliate links to help you build a better business. So I think in your case, Sally, I think it feels better to frame it under the giving back. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So now you could write a blog post about it and put that affiliate link right in your blog post. Or you could also have a page right on your website about giving back and put it right under the link. The only thing you have to do is you have to mention somewhere that you're using affiliate links.
Okay.
That has to be published, that you're using affiliate links. That's the only rule in legally that you have to tell folks that you would get some sort of an advantage. And even on my PLR where I get credits, I don't actually get money, I just get credits. That's still a monetary value to me. So I have to list that I am using an affiliate link, that I do get something out of you clicking on that link.
Thank you.
And most people don't care. I mean, if I'm reading a blog post and I'm loving something and it says click here and underneath it says this is an affiliate link, okay, if that's the person that brought it to my attention, I'd want them to get something out of it.
Just be a smart person.
Yeah. So I don't mind that, it's an affiliate link. All right. Any other questions? Now let's talk about Clubhouse. Because now let me look. We all have a Clubhouse account. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Here's what the question is. Do you gals want to pick a date and time and just jump on Clubhouse and learn how to move around in Clubhouse?
Yes.
In an only yes. room, just us.
That'd be great.
Okay. Yeah. What I need from everybody is what would be a good date and time that we all could do that. And Ruth, did you say you did or did not have?
I'm in the process of setting up one. So okay. I think I've got one. I think I had it on my phone after we started talking. And so I just need to finish setting it up. I think I'm probably in there now. They're just wanting contacts and stuff like that.
Okay. When you set up your Clubhouse, make sure you set up your profile.
Yeah, and that's what's
anything, yeah. All you're going to do is you're going to download the app. You're going to click on the profile button and just make sure you upload a picture. And then make your profile kind of in bullet points, because oftentimes what I'm discovering in Clubhouse, as soon as you get on Clubhouse and you start to share, I'm telling you what, if you want to connect with people, Clubhouse is the place to do it. Because as soon as you connect, 20 people will probably start following you. But the first thing they do is they click on your profile while you're talking to see who you are and what you're about. And so make sure that you make your profile kind of simplified, oversimplified, if you will. And for example, this is my profile. It's got my picture and then it's got bullet points. I've got a paragraph and my call to action is the very, very first word. It says, click or copy and paste link for free 30-minute strategy session. And my link is right there. Mm-hmm. That's the very top paragraph is how they can connect with me. And then it has just bullet points of what I offer.
How many bullet points do you use or would you suggest?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 7. But you can jump on. And then I also, at the bottom, I also have my phone number. So just, and then I've got my website and my blog post, my freestyle living. So they can kind of check out my website, they can kind of check out my blog post, they can call me or text me if they want, or they can just go straight to that strategy session. But go into Clubhouse, jump into a couple of rooms, you don't have to say anything, and click on their picture and it'll take you to their website. So for example, this is what Clubhouse looks like. These are 3 rooms. This one is there's only 12 people, so I don't want to jump in. I want one that's got a bunch of people. Okay. Here is Unleashed Live Watch Party. I have no idea what that is. Mm-hmm. But if I jump in there, there's all these people in that room. Right now, it's telling me, if I leave quietly, there's 267 people in that room. And so if I go in like that, and let's say I want to see the person that's talking, I can click on his picture and then it says view the pro, and there's his profile. And again, okay. It's bullet points. So go in and look at some profiles and you'll see, and you can leave a room quietly anytime. You don't have to say anything. You can go down and jump in all kinds of rooms and just listen for a minute and click on anybody's face anywhere in that room, and their profile will come up, and look at their profile and just click on a few and see what resonates with you. And if you were in there checking some people going out, it. Do what?
I'm going through it now.
Yep. There you go. And so once you get in there and you see what resonates with you, if you see somebody just got this book written about themselves, you'll realize you have a tendency to like get back out of there. It's like, oh, that's too much. I don't have time for that. Because when you're talking on Clubhouse, they pass the mic through the room. When you finally get to where, you know, you're in the line to get the mic, well, somebody's only going to talk for a couple of minutes and you don't have time to read. If you want to know about the person that's talking, you're just going to glance and you just want to see their bullet points. You just want to see what they're about. And then you're going to go back because by then they're going to pass the mic to the next person and you want to check that person out. So you're not going to stay in their profile for a really long time reading, you know, pages about them and all their accolades. You just want to kind of see the high points, like, does this person, do I connect with this person on what I'm looking to do? You know, if I'm looking to get on somebody else's podcast, all I want to know is are they a podcaster? Mm-hmm. If they're not a podcaster and I can't, then I'm going to get back out of their profile because maybe my goal that day was to get onto three different podcasts as a speaker. And so I'm just looking for people that are podcasters. Or maybe I'm just looking for people that are in my lane. Let's say that I'm getting ready to do one of my latest lanes that I just launched along with Rita Brewer. And I met her on Clubhouse, by the way. And we are now, cohorts and partners in Fit as a Fiddle. And I just wanted to connect with some folks that were in because I wanted some speakers to interview on my new Fit as a Fiddle. So I wanted to connect with folks that were in the fitness lane. In the be more healthy and fitness, more about health than fitness. I wanted to get people, you know, so I didn't want people that were just out. I didn't want a runner's club or a jogging club. I wanted somebody that was more about being healthy. And so I started tapping into rooms that were talking about health and I started clicking on profiles and I was looking for health coaches. Because number one, they're looking for more clients and I'm looking for folks to interview in that lane. And so I ended up lining up like my first 4 months. Sorry, that's Mark talking in the background.
Now, I would, as far as setting a time, I would say you pick a time and put it out and say, are you guys available? Because otherwise I think we're just going to run in circles. And I think you've got something else coming up and probably the rest of us need to get on with our day too.
Yeah.
I have a 2 o'clock call coming up. So I do have to jump over to get onto my 2 o'clock call.
Is there a particular day that people are like Wednesdays and Thursdays are typically during the daytime are typically pretty good for me. Does anybody else have, you know, like that kind of time?
Well, this week I have Wednesday afternoon. That's good. Cause Emmy will be down taking a nap.
Well, I actually fly back home on Thursday, so I'll be kind of back to normal starting next week. This week, I'm still in Florida.
Okay, that's good.
My schedule's kind of busy this week, but Thursday, I do fly home.
So I'm going to Frankenmuth next Thursday, or next Tuesday.
Yay!
And I are going to Frankenmuth.
Oh, is that in Pennsylvania?
Michigan.
Oh, okay. And you're going there.
It's been a long time since I've been there.
What is it?
Yep.
All right. I have a good one for you. Now, Ruth, how your time, you're just an hour different from us.
Right.
Okay. There is a room already. It's a great place to practice. It's a nice, safe place. And it's Wendy Bloom on Monday at 8 a.m., which would probably be 7 a.m. for Ruth. That might be a little early. I don't know how early you like to get up, but it's a great way. I love to wake up with Wendy every morning. Of course, I'm up about 7 Eastern time, but by 8 o'clock, I usually am trying to hit my walk outside. And I listen to Wendy Monday through Friday from 8 to 9 on Clubhouse, almost like I'm listening to talk radio. She has wonderful speakers on. You can see how she works. She always has a topic and then she works through the room and passes the mic and lets everybody share. I try to jump in and share. And so gals, tap in at 8 a.m. Her name is Wendy, W-E-N-D-I, Bloom, B-L-U-M. And you don't have to say anything. You can just sit in the back of the room, if you will, and just listen. And even if sometimes she'll call out your name, you know, she'll say, oh, we see we have Sally with us today. Sally, do you want to say anything? You don't have to. You can just ignore that and let that go on by. And then sometimes you'll get a little invite. It'll pop up at the top of the screen and it'll invite you to come up so that you can take the microphone and you can either answer yes or maybe later. So you don't have to go up.
Okay.
Ruth.
So Clubhouse, do people see you? Is it video?
Nope, it's just your icon. That's why you want to fill out your profile. Make sure okay. You put a picture into your profile. It's just the picture on your icon is all that's going to show up.
Can you send this out to us somehow, that information on Clubhouse?
Yes, I will do that.
And then, yeah, I mean, as long as I don't have to be presentable, I can do 7 o'clock.
No, that's perfect. Oftentimes, I'm not presentable because I just throw on some workout clothes and hit the bricks and I don't even have my hair combed or anything. So
Right.
And that's the joy of Clubhouse, but you feel that you connect with folks because you can hear them.
Okay.
Cool.
So yeah, I do need help getting up to speed on Clubhouse. So that'd be good.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that training.
Yeah. So just hang out in the back of the room. Let's all meet there Monday morning at 8 a.m. and just listen in. And at that point, then, see, after we get off of that call, we can talk about it.
Now,
okay.
You can say, well, why did that happen? Or why did that person say this? Or how come that person didn't do this? Then we can discuss it, because then you'll have a better idea of what Clubhouse is about.
So will we just go to another room in Clubhouse to talk, or what do we do?
We can.
I mean, I didn't know whether you were going to set up a Zoom or what you were thinking.
No, I'm thinking we're just going to stay on Clubhouse, because once you're in Clubhouse, and this is what it looks, this green button here says start a room.
Okay.
Oh.
And so I can just start a room and tell you guys, hey, I'm just going to start a room and it'll just say Kathy Benner. If I click on start a room right now and make it open and let's go. Yeah. Right there's my room. I'm already in a room right now.
So that would mean you open up a room and we'll just jump in.
Yeah, I'm the only one there right now. And it just has me.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's real easy. And then I can just put leave. And leaving will end the room because I'm the only one in it. So I can end the room. So there, now my room is ended. It's very, very easy. Very, very easy. And you're going to love it. And you can listen in if you're out biking or hiking or whatever you're doing. You can listen in. There's some great topics. Now, there's some topics that aren't going to interest you, but there's topics that are. And you're going to make some great connections there. This is where people are now having Clubhouse symposiums where they're looking for speakers. Mm. And I was a speaker so far in 2 symposiums on Clubhouse, and they just give you your date and time and you jump into the room and they hand you the mic and you get your 15 minutes to present your topic, and tons of people can tap in and listen, and there's no registration. There's nothing. People just come and go at will, which is why it is so darn easy. Nobody has to be dressed up or drive anywhere. You just tap the button and you're in. And you tap another button and you're out. And that's why it's such a big hit.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan to me.
All right. So Monday morning, 8 o'clock, and I'll mark it on my calendar that you guys are all jumping in, and it's Wendy Bloom. And when she's doing a countdown, she started with 100 days to the end of the year. So her room will say something like 75 days left, or it'll say something like the number of days to the end of the year is what her room will say under Wendy Bloom. Okay.
So how long does it last?
She goes 8 to 9, and she's very prompt at jumping off at 9. But you don't have to stay that long.
So we're just going on to listen to her. But we're going to schedule our time at another time. Is that correct?
Right, yes. After there.
Right after. Right after. If you have any, I'm going to create another room, and you girls can jump over and ask questions about what you just heard in her room.
Okay. I have an 8 o'clock, but I'm going to forego it just to hop on with you ladies, and then I have a 10 o'clock. So
I will hop on for a little bit, because again, I can answer individual questions too, but just hop in and listen. It's not hard. And once you see what's going on, you'll realize how easy it is. Clubhouse has three sections. It has, if you're on stage, is the top section. Speakers that are on stage following you is the middle section. And just a part of the audience is the third section. So my guess is that most of you will be in that third section if you've not been on Clubhouse very much. I'll be in the second section, because once you share and talk a time or two, people start following you. And once they start following you, then every time you go into that room, if anybody in the room follows you, you'll be in that middle section. It's kind of like you're backstage. You're not in the audience any longer. You're backstage waiting to come on if you're in that middle section. And then, of course, the people that are on that have microphones are in the top section. So as it goes through the room, generally, the moderator will give a topic. Today, we're talking about our 75 days till the end of the year, and our topic might be Mentoring Monday. What are you doing today to mentor somebody in your group? I mean, I'm just giving an example. And then it'll go around the microphone, and this person might say, well, I'm helping, you know, mentor elementary school kids today. And somebody else might say, well, I'm helping mentor some folks at my church. And somebody else might say, well, I'm helping mentor in my own, you know, my own business. I'm mentoring my staff or my customers. And it'll go through the room like that. And then somebody up there on stage might send you a note that says, hey, Debbie, do you want to come up on stage? And it'll pop up at the top of your phone that'll say you've been invited up on stage. And then you can say yes, or maybe later.
Okay.
You don't have to go up.
Guys, this has been great, but I've got to go.
Yep, yeah. I get it.
Me too.
All right.
See you later.
See ya.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All right. Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Bye.